Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Richard Munchkin. We'll be talking about how to begin to play Advantage Blackjack. We have some bad news and some good news. Surveillance expert Vinny DiCarlo passed away this week. Vinny was a guest on the show in August 2011. Munch, tell us what you remember about Vinny.
Vinny was quite a character. He was supposed to be on our show about 6 weeks ago, 6 weeks to 2 months ago. And he had to beg off because he was heavily medicated. He had had some surgery on his back. And apparently they're, you know, from what he said, they had sort of botched the surgery and he was going back in for more surgery. So he was the author of How to Beat Casino Surveillance. He sent me a lot of photographs of various cheating devices that he had accumulated over the years. And I was waiting. He was going to give me descriptions and of what each of these things was before I posted them. But I don't know. So maybe I'll post some of them now. Anyway, I'm sorry to see him go. He was a real character. He'd been around surveillance in Vegas for a long time and was very opinionated. I'm sorry to see him go.
Me too. Our scheduled guest tonight was supposed to be Andy Block. His wife went into labor early today, and so he begged off. Sounded like a pretty good excuse to Richard and me. We both wish our best to Andy, his wife, and new child. Now, as I understand it, it's a girl, and everybody's doing fine. Is that the way you understand it, Richard?
Yep, I did see a picture, on Facebook. I haven't heard a name yet, but I saw a picture around noon. So I guess everybody's healthy. That's good. And hopefully we'll try to get Andy on next week or in the near future.
Yeah, our topic was going to be about the upcoming World Series of Poker, which starts in about 2 weeks. And so we're going to need to get him on soon if we're going to get him on. Fortunately, Richard Munchkin was able to make a last-minute substitution.
Well, I'm not a guest. I'm the co-host, so we have no guest. We're just going to talk amongst ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But now, we've been doing this sort of ongoing series of how to learn a particular game, which started with me really wanting to add video poker to my repertoire and us talking about how to go about learning video poker, and then we had Ed Miller on talking about how to learn to play regular poker. And so I thought now we should talk about how to learn to play blackjack.
And we will in a bit. Since you're a guest, you have to wait your turn.
Okay.
We received an email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com from a video poker player. It appears as though this player and his buddy were playing Jacks or Better at a Harrah's property. They were intending to play $50,000 coin in one day to get the 10,000 tier credit bonus and to kickstart their friend's mailer. Assuming they were playing for dollars, playing this much might take 14 hours or 7 hours apiece for the two of them. Anyway, they hit three royal flushes and only got $29,000 coin in played. They were nervous about hitting so many taxables on somebody else's card, so they quit.
Now, I don't understand how that worked. How did they fill out the tax form if they were on someone else's card?
Well, you show ID when you get there, when they show up, and they give it to the ID shown. I'm not sure if the cards was pulled afterwards or not. Sometimes...
So apparently they just didn't notice that the card in the machine didn't match the player playing.
Well, the only time I've done it at Harrah's is when I was playing on Shirley's card when I was married to her. And I just explained Shirley was my wife, and they go, fine. And just went ahead and paid it, put the W2G in my name, and it was no big deal. So I don't know what these guys said about their friend, but anyway, they were getting nervous about it. And so they decided to quit after $29,000 coin in. And then they asked to know whether I would have quit before I reached the $50,000. And because they were on the positive fluctuation, because they weren't supposed to be ahead nearly as much as they were. And with that much win, their friend wasn't going to get a very good mailer anyway. So first of all, playing that much on somebody else's card isn't something I do unless I'm married to that person. So I always take the point of view that there are managers in every casino who question whether it's wise to deal to me. And I don't want to give those managers any reason to believe I'm cheating. Most slot club rules specifically say you're not allowed to play on somebody else's card. So whether you call it cheating or not, casinos can and do. Other players who aren't as high profile as me may well come to a different conclusion. On the separate question of whether I would ever stop early because I hit some jackpots soon after I started playing, this rarely happens to me. Well, I do hit jackpots, but it rarely happens that I would quit. I usually have a particular goal in mind when I go to a casino, whether in terms of points earned or time spent. If a point multiplier ends at midnight, for example, I virtually never play past that. There could be a family emergency, or maybe somehow I learned of a better play somewhere else, but I don't use my score as any sort of a barometer on how long I should play. How about you, Richard? How often do you use the amount of money you've won or lost to determine whether or not you should keep playing?
Let me get to that in a second. So if they were asking you, was it right to quit because we were ahead 29,000 and way ahead of EV, then obviously that's nonsense. That's sort of voodoo thinking. But I think that there's a very legitimate question of, is it right to quit because of heat and those kind of factors? And I suspect that quitting might be a very good decision there. Because, you know, you hit another taxable. At some point, they may start looking at who you are and start to be bothered by the fact that the card doesn't match the people playing. And also, if you're out to get mailers, my understanding is that if you have a big win, you're probably not going to get very good mail anyway. So, I think, you know, if that's why you're asking, should you quit, then I think that's a very reasonable question and probably was a good decision to quit. How often do I quit based on winning all the time? Make a judgment about what we feel the casino is comfortable losing. And that can vary greatly, you know, depending on the casino. And so, you know, I feel like my job is to get right under that number and then quit, regardless of how good the game is or whatever. I would rather, and I know there will be many people that will disagree with me, but I would rather win $25,000 in a casino and get out completely cleanly with no scrutiny than win $50,000 and get flyered. I think not having heat on you is worth a tremendous amount of money. So to answer your question, all the time I quit because I'm ahead a certain amount.
Very good. In news of the weird, a couple weeks ago, there was a report that a Liverpool soccer fan told his fiance that he'd get his Johnson tattooed with the team's logo if Liverpool won the Premier League. Our producer's looking at me wondering if there should be a 7-second delay on Johnson. At the time this became public knowledge, Liverpool was in first place and a favorite to win. I winced at the story. I mean, the guy can get a tattoo anywhere he wants, but just thinking about that makes me uneasy. Anyway, Liverpool faltered down in the next to last game, and Manchester City ended up winning. So now I'm breathing easier. Now, Munch, I'm not going to ask you exactly what you have tattooed and where, but what would it take for you to make a bet like that?
There is no price. No, I have no tattoos. Although I will tell you that I did one time apply one of those, applique tattoos.
Yeah.
Just to get a laugh out of my wife. So it was a rose tattoo. It did get a good laugh. I will say it was a long stem rose.
Oh, I guess that's as close as you can get to Johnson. All right, so there was news today about surveillance mask being developed to let you hide from facial recognition software when you're out in public. Apparently, there are many streets in the city where the downtown intersection, there's cameras all over the place. And Homeland Security and other police organizations are trying to identify who is doing what. Now, wearing such a mask in a casino clearly can get you into trouble. So how do you see this as useful to our listeners, Richard?
Well, I thought the article was really interesting. I mean, this is developed by an artist in Chicago, I believe. And he wants to create these masks using a 3D printer. He's actually done it. And the mask makes you look like the artist. But I thought it was interesting because it's not just casino people who are trying to thwart facial recognition software. And this mask apparently works. Now, the picture that I saw, it does look like you're wearing a mask. I mean, if someone looks at you closely, they would be able to tell that you're wearing a mask, although it's pretty good. I would also say that the facial recognition software in casinos right now is not very good and really not something that players should worry about, but it is getting better all the time. So eventually it is going to be something that people have to worry about. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting article. I did post a link to the article on the Gambling with an Edge Facebook page. So if anybody wants to check it out, you can go there and read the article.
Very good. All right. Let's talk to our guest. Richard, you're in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. Let's say someone wants to learn how to be a successful blackjack player, starting from scratch. What would you tell him? Oh, sorry. Before I do that, Richard Munchkin, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
I don't think we should be calling me a guest. I think we should just be having a discussion. But anyway... So I get asked this all the time. And I think I've mentioned in the past that, you know, usually I tell people to go learn basic strategy and come back. And that's usually enough. And I never have to deal with it again because they never do. So the first thing that I would say is you have to learn basic strategy backwards and forwards and in your sleep. And there are many good websites where you can... The important thing is to look at the game that you have access to locally and find out what the rules are, particularly whether they hit soft 17 or not, and whether they allow doubling after splitting of pairs. And then you... plug in those rules. I would recommend blackjackinfo.com has a very good basic strategy engine. and you just go there and you plug in the number of decks and the rules that they have, and it'll give you a correct basic strategy and learn that basic strategy. And I learned from a book. I mean, the next step is to get a book. And, you know, what I told my son is to be successful at anything in life. My strategy was to read every book I could find and then find really good players and try to get them to teach me things. And I think that strategy is really a good one. But as far as what book to start out with, I started out with Playing Blackjack as a Business. And what I liked about that book was he had a lot of sort of quizzes to help you learn basic strategy. So he would give you lots of hands and you would take these little tests to see how you were doing. Now, since then, I kind of evolved and I started recommending Arnold Snyder's Black Belt in Blackjack or Knockout Blackjack are two very good books. But I have to say, I've been rereading next week or one of the upcoming weeks.
Rick Blaine.
The what?
Rick Blaine.
Rick Blaine, yeah. Rick Blaine is going to be on the show, and his book is called, it used to be called Blackjack in the Zone, and now
Blueprint.
I'm blanking for it.
It's Blackjack Blueprint.
Blackjack Blueprint, that's right. It started out as Blackjack in the Zone.
He actually
had
two books.
And now it's Blackjack
books.
Blueprint.
Had...
It's being reissued, and he has some additional chapters. And this is actually a really excellent book to start out with, because he does have a lot of these sort of quizzes and takes you step by step through learning basic strategy and then selecting a count and learning to count. So, you know, that'd be a book I would really recommend as well. And we'll hear a lot more about that when he comes on the show in a week or two. So that's the start. You know, I want to say something else too. I think people, somebody kind of made a snarky comment on one of my blog posts. And I think that people maybe have the wrong impression that I look down my nose at card counting. And I really do not. I have a healthy respect for card counting. It's the way I started, and I made a lot of money doing it. But I think in the United States, the best days of card counting are behind us. Now, I'm not saying that you can't make money at it, but, you know, when you hear about Phil Ivey winning $12 million or Don Johnson winning $15 million, you never hear these stories about somebody doing this counting cards in the United States, not anymore. So there are, I think, tremendous opportunities for card counters in other countries right now. But the best days of card counting in the United States, I think, are behind us. So, but that being said, there's still a lot of money to be made. And, you know, we had Paul Hoppe on the show talking about playing low-limit poker. And, you know, I've always said that, I actually stole this line from Tommy Hyland. You know, to make $50 an hour playing poker, you have to be really good. And to make $50 an hour at blackjack is easy. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that you can learn to count cards and make $25 to $50 an hour with very little heat. I mean, I think you can play a long time if you're happy with making that kind of income.
Making that kind of income at video poker is relatively rare on an extended basis.
Really? $50 an hour?
Well, there are opportunities, regular opportunities, but not every day.
Well, maybe you should go back to blackjack, though. You know, I have to say, I know two guys. I don't really know them. I know them over the internet, you know. But so there are two guys who really focus on counting cards, and they have completely opposite strategies. One of them, we'll call KJ. He wanted to focus on longevity. So what he does is he picks a, very much like what I said I do, he picks what he thinks is the comfort level of the casinos that he plays, and he will play completely different, you know, top bets based on what that casino is, and he wants to stay just under, you know, the level where they might start giving him a second look and being uncomfortable. And he plays a lot of hours every week, and he goes from place to place. And, you know, he grinds out a living counting cards, and with not that much heat, from what I understand. You know, and I don't know what he makes exactly, but I would say maybe close to six figures a year. And then I know another guy, and we'll call him Small Cap. And his attitude is, I want to make the maximum amount of EV possible. And he just goes and basically fires away until he gets barred, and he gets barred everywhere he goes, you know, but he's made probably twice as much money as what KJ's made. So, you know, I can't say that one approach is better than the other. But there are two different approaches, and both of them are making money, you know?
I think the biggest reason that I became excellent at video poker and only marginally good at blackjack is because I never used blackjack software, but have used all kinds of video poker software. For a beginner, what blackjack software would you recommend?
Well, there's really good software now. It's put out by a guy named Norm Wattenberger, and the company is called QFIT. And he's got a suite of software called Casino Verite. And he's got an app too, I believe, so you can practice on your phone. And you know, the software, in addition to training you, letting you know, like video poker, if you're playing and making mistakes and things like that, it, not just in basic strategy, but also once you learn to count and you determine what your bet spread is going to be, you can tell it, I want to bet this amount, you know, based on these counts. And it'll tell you if you're making errors in your betting as well as in your playing. But in addition to all of that, you know, when I started out, there was no software to tell you about how big your bankroll should be. So, you know, we all just kind of picked a number, you know. We didn't really have accurate ideas about risk of ruin or any of those things. So, but now the software is there. It'll tell you exactly what your edge is, exactly what your win rate should be based on the rules and the penetration of the game that you're playing. It'll answer all of those questions for you. So, the software is now out there. And in addition to Norm having an app, I know the Blackjack Apprenticeship guys have a card counting app as well.
It's Colin Jones and Ben somebody.
Right.
Okay, now, personality-wise, blackjack players and video poker players are not the same animal. Blackjack players need to have at least some social skills. To deal,
it helps, but
well, you haven't met any video poker players. Relatively speaking, in video poker, 95% of it is just you and the machine. And there are times that if you have certain social skills, you can extend your welcome longer and can get better comps and things like that. But generally speaking, it's you and the machine. In blackjack, you have to deal with the other players at the table and the dealer and the pit critters and things like that. So have you noticed those personality differences? Or like, what would be the minimum personality level you need to be successful here?
You know, there were a lot of nerdy, misfit blackjack players, you know, I mean, they get by. It's not so much the social misfit problem usually in the beginning as it is age. You know, it looks a little bit weird, you know, when a 22-year-old guy, you know, with glasses that are held together with a paperclip and a Band-Aid is betting $1,000 a hand. You know, it has more to do with his age than it does, you know, his social skills. But I mean, I knew a lot of guys who, well, like the whole MIT team, you know, that were, you know, not the greatest social fits, you know. So they can get by.
I don't know. In the movie 21, they were all pretty social animals.
It really helps if you have social skills, but not an absolute necessity.
All right. Now, the guys in the MIT team all went to MIT, which...
I shouldn't say that, especially with Andy Block coming on within the next week or two. But they're not all complete, you know, geeks.
But they all on the MIT team were exceptionally bright. And what level, how important is being bright to being a successful blackjack player?
You know, being bright, I think, helps in any endeavor, but it's, again, not a necessity at all. The most important thing is your work ethic. That is really the bottom line. If you're willing to work hard, you know, you will be successful. I mean, that's really it in a nutshell. And that starts at the beginning from working hard to actually learn basic strategy. You know, I can't tell you how many people come back to me and go, yep, I know basic strategy. And I go, what do you do with ace-7 against a 3? You know, and they don't know the answer.
And the correct answer has to do with you. Then you have to ask, what are the rules of the game you're playing?
No, that doesn't matter with ace-7 against a 3.
Well, I'm doubling.
It's a double down.
Well, you're right.
If they don't allow soft doubling, yes, you're right. Then you wouldn't double down. But, you know, that's not really an issue in the United States other than, I guess, Reno single deck. But anyway, so work ethic is the most important thing. And so I think we should go after you learn basic strategy. The next thing is to select a count. And there are a lot of people who disagree with me on this, but my attitude is to use a very simple count. You know, the money in blackjack, where you make money as a card counter is not in having a more powerful, more difficult count. What those counts give you is better playing efficiency. I mean, that means that more often the stronger count will know that it's right to hit a 13 against a 3 than a simpler count. But where the money is in how big you spread your bet, how, you know, the distance from your small bet to your big bet, and how deep the penetration is. So I always tell people to learn the high-low. The other reason that I like the high-low is because it's what most teams use. So if you team up with somebody, you'll probably be using the same count that they're using already. You know, it's a really effective count, and it's very easy to learn. And, you know, maybe I should just name, like, a number of really great books to read, because I think if you want to take this seriously, you shouldn't just read a book, you know. You should read lots of books, because a lot of it will be repetitive, but you never know when you're going to pick up one little nugget in some book that, you know, is going to make you a lot of money. You know, so I would say definitely read Professional Blackjack by Stanford Wong. I really like Ken Houston's books because in addition to the learning stuff, he has a lot of stories about playing on his teams. And that really captured my imagination when I was starting out. I loved Million Dollar Blackjack for that reason. You know, I liked reading about what happened with other teams. Any of Arnold Snyder's books are really good. I mentioned Black Belt and Blackjack already. He has another one called The Big Book of Blackjack. Kevin Blackwood had a very good beginning blackjack book too. So Knockout Blackjack is another one.
Now, Knockout Blackjack is a simpler count than the high-low. Both the Knockout Blackjack count or the Red 7 by Snyder are simpler. They're unbalanced counts, and they're quite a bit easier than high-low.
The reason they're easier is because the only reason they're easier is because you don't adjust for the true count. And I'm sorry, I just think if you're going to take the game seriously at all, it's just not that hard to divide by 5 or 4 or 3, you know, and get a true count. You know, I would use the high-low and base the true count on whole decks. Some counts you use half decks. You divide by the number of half decks left. I would divide by the number of whole decks left. And it's just not that hard. And you don't have to be that exact. You know, if there's 3.5 decks and you only divide by 3, that's fine. As long as you always, you know, when I was counting, when it came to rounding, if it was rounding to decide what to bet, I would always round up. And if it was rounding on deciding how to play the hand, I would always round down, meaning I would lean toward always making the basic strategy play. And I would also lean toward always betting more.
But rounding down means closer to zero, not necessarily.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Rounding closer to zero for the playing decisions. Uh-huh. I mean, if you play basic strategy, if you always play basic strategy and at least take insurance, get that right, and whether to hit 16 against a 10 or not. Again, the playing decisions are not where the money is. Unless you're, you know, a single deck specialist. But, you know, there aren't many people trying to do that anymore just because there aren't that many single decks to really play.
Oh, there's a lot of them if you don't mind 6 to 5.
Well, yes. Yeah.
All right. Now, whenever somebody's trying to learn something, it's often that they try to do too much too early. So they don't even have basic strategy yet, and they're trying to wonder about, should I do a 3-level count or a 4-level count?
Yeah. And yeah, no, like I said, you have to know basic strategy in your sleep. And then the other thing is, once you learn to count, you should go out to the casino to the lowest. I mean, first you're going to practice on your kitchen table, right? So you're going to start by turning over cards from a deck and counting down the deck just by turning them over 2 at a time. I recommend 2 at a time because that's the way they're dealt on the layout, and you end up canceling them out. You know, big cards and little cards cancel each other out. So you start out that way, and then you start actually dealing hands to yourself, or if you have a great wife or someone, you know, to deal for you, that's even better. And once you can count on the kitchen table, then you have to go to the casino, and I guarantee the first time you go to the casino, you're going to get completely lost. You know, so you want to go to the lowest minimum table you can and practice counting, and it's going to take a while. You know, Tommy Hyland said in my book, you know, when he first started counting, he thought it was impossible. He and his friend, you know, would count together and you know, merge their two counts. And no one had ever told them, when you're watching a face-up game, to wait for the dealer to get to the second card coming out so that you're looking at the pairs of cards, you know, and canceling them out. But as I say, when I first learned, I learned most games were dealt face down back then. And it was a big transition for me after I'd been playing games that were dealt face down to suddenly play a game that was dealt face up. It threw me for a few shoes, you know, just finding the right rhythm of when to count the cards.
Yeah, and if a pair of shoes lasts a couple of years, that was a long time.
Right.
But now you went directly from practicing on your kitchen table to the casino. You didn't have a practice on software along the way. Now, when you learned, you didn't have the software, but now people who are learning do have access to software. How much software practice would you recommend before you actually go into the casino?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, because it's much harder to deal to yourself and count at the same time when you also have to deal and you know, add up the dealer hand and take the hit cards and all that stuff. So I think it'd be tremendously helpful to have software that'll deal to you. So, but you want to be able to play against that software without making any errors.
And having the software correct you is eye-opening. In video poker, if you don't use software, you have no idea what a bad player you are. I suspect the same thing is true in blackjack.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that we did is we would have a partner go out with us, and two of us would sit at the table together, and we would check with each other to see if we were getting the same count. You know, that was very helpful. Dusty on the show, once you progress further down the line and you actually are out there playing, counting and making money, Dusty mentioned that he went on a trip with a more experienced pro and that was really helpful to him. And, you know, as I mentioned, I think, you know, that is the thing. You want to find better players and hopefully find someone to, if not mentor you, at least you can learn things from watching better players.
You were mentioning earlier the Ken Houston Million Dollar Blackjack. That book was the biggest factor in getting me to strongly consider being a professional gambler, because he talked about this at the time, a single deck game at Caesars, where it had a 0% house edge, and they'd give you, if you played big enough, they would give you comps, and so you'd play an even game but an RFB, and you could take all these gorgeous girls to Vegas for RFB. And so I was having trouble getting a date back in Los Angeles. So this sounded like a hell of a deal. So I basically became a professional gambler because of the sex. And all
for the same reason people become rock stars, right?
Yeah, and if that's the reason somebody else decides to become a professional gambler, I can tell you that it doesn't work for everybody, and certainly not me. But that's... that was a big reason I started. All right. So how long do you have to, how good do you have to get before you can move on to the next step? Now, you said do it forwards and backwards. Like, do you time yourself in counting down a deck? Do you have to count a deck in 20 seconds, for example? Or how good do you have to be?
You know, counting down a deck in your hand is really not a skill that translates to playing in the casino. I mean, you know, it's something to practice when you're home and you know, if you don't have an app to play or whatever. But, you know, I mean, your basic strategy has to be perfect. I mean, it has to be perfect, zero mistakes. And if you can play against software, you know, your count, I would say... you know, it shouldn't be off by more than one, and even one, that shouldn't happen more than, I don't know, every three or four shoes. I mean, you know, you need to really know your stuff. So it goes back to what I said about it really all boils down to how hard you work. If you work hard, you will be successful. I mean, because you can learn this. It's not rocket science, you know. Anybody can learn to count cards. The hard part is learning to get away with it.
Now, Rick Blaine's book has a lot of that kind of stuff in it. We'll be talking to him soon about how much to tip and how much to when to do heat or how much heat, what kind of barring is there, how to deal with various people in the casino. So it's anecdotal, a lot of it, but it is you have to pick this up somewhere.
Yeah, and really a lot of that you only learn by being out there and experiencing heat. Now, I was fortunate in that I started out while I was learning to count cards, I was a dealer. So I saw, and I dealt in a place that every card counter in the world came to because it was on the strip and we dealt single deck, you know, stand 17, double on any two cards. So it was, you know, a minuscule house edge off the top. So every card counter came there and I got to see what card counters looked like in the casino. And I got to see what heat looked like from the inside. You know, so, but most people don't have that luxury. I mean, I think that was really helpful to me to have worked in the casino.
Would you recommend
going out? If you can meet other players and go out with them, you'll learn things from them as well. And one of the things I wanted to mention, one way to meet other people and a great resource is the message boards, the forums.
BJ21 or any in particular?
Yeah, well, BJ21 is Stanford Wong's site. That is one I would recommend. The other I would recommend is Norm Wattenberger's site. It's called Blackjack The Forum. And both of those sites do have a small fee associated with them, mainly to keep out the spammers, but well worth it. And I think that they both have a free trial period. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I think they do. Both of those are very good. And also, Arnold Snyder's old site, it's called Blackjack Forum Online. The forums themselves really are kind of dead, but the library there is really tremendous. He's got this enormous library of articles about blackjack that is a really good resource for people to look at. By the way, both BJ21 and Blackjack the Forum have chat rooms. So BJ21, they have chats on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8. And Blackjack the Forum, people just sort of wind up in there at all different times on all different days. You know, so, you know, it's a way to meet people and have your questions answered if you're new to playing and, you know, really, really good resource.
Now, Stanford Wong has published for decades Current Blackjack News, which is a monthly newsletter listing basically all casinos in the country and their rules and penetration and various other things. Is that a useful resource for beginners?
You know, I do not subscribe. For me, I would say you have to do your own scouting. I'm not going to believe whatever I read in that periodical. I have to go to the casino and look at things myself. Because, you know, the information is not always accurate. Sometimes purposely so. People want to keep the honeypots to themselves, so they will misdescribe them. And sometimes just because it's they're, you know, parts of the country that people don't get to very often. So for me, I don't find that worthwhile. I would say a must. If you're serious about playing, I would highly recommend the American Casino Guide, and that comes out every year, but he has an app that I believe is free that is right now it's for iPhone and iPads, but he is coming out with an Android version. And what's great about that is it gets updated all the time because the information that's valuable to me is where is the casino, what is the address, what is the phone number? That's really all I want to know because I'm not going to trust the rest of it. And in the case of Current Blackjack News, there's a lot of questions that it just doesn't address at all that I need to answer for myself. So,
but you're not primarily a blackjack counter. So on the people tonight, we're talking about somebody who aspired to be a blackjack counter.
Yeah, to be a card counter, still, I would recommend the American Casino Guide. And you can go to the American Casino Guide online if you don't have the app. If you have a smartphone, you can just go to American Casino Guide online and find out where the casinos are and go scout them yourself, you know, because you just never know what you're going to find. Things change all the time. You know, it might say that the penetration is two decks on six and you get there and it's half a deck on six. So, that's what I would recommend is the American Casino Guide.
All right. Very good. So we're going to do a few commercials. I'm hoping our guest can stick around for a little bit. Even if he doesn't want to be called a guest. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. Saturday, Sunday, March 16th and 17th at four different times, 2:30, 4:30, 6:30, 8:30. South Point is having virtual horse races played at your machine. Simply play 100 points in the previous 2 hours, and you're eligible. You select horses based on color, and then they run a race. The winner split $5,000 through each of the drawings. It'll be $40,000 this weekend, and a couple weekends ago, it was another $40,000. In the past, the EV per player is about $6 per race. At the Palms, they have 7 p.m. drawings every Friday night in May. You need to swipe your card before 6:45 p.m., but you do not need to be there for the drawing itself, so long as you pick up your prize money prior to midnight. Each week, $10,000 is given away to 10 winners with a top prize of $4,000. The good news is you don't have to be there. The bad news is that if somebody doesn't show up, the prize is forfeited and doesn't go to somebody else. You're in 5 times drawing tickets Friday and Saturday, 8 to midnight, and 2 times entries Sunday and Tuesdays. At videopoker.com, it remains the best place to practice a wide variety of games, including Quick Quads, Ultimate X, Extra Draw Frenzy Poker, Hyper Bonus, many others. Often these games are the best returning games in a casino, and you need to practice them to make sure you know how to play. The weekly contests for this week are Wheel Poker with Quick Quads, Draw Poker with Dream Card, and 25 Play Poker with Super Times Pay. These are all combinations of videopoker.com games, and the combinations add to the fun factor. The most fun is probably Wheel Poker with Quick Quads. You get a wheel spin every time you get a quad or a quick quad. Don't have the exact average number of credits you get per spin, but it's somewhere around 150 credits or so. So that's a fun game to play. Our guest next week will probably be, well, originally we were scheduled to have Rick Blaine. Now, we spoke a little bit about Rick Blaine. Well, there's two Rick Blaines. One was the Humphrey Bogart character in Casablanca, and one writes blackjack books. Which one is going to be on, Richard?
I'm sure he got the name from Casablanca. And I would be shocked if that wasn't where he got it. Rick Blaine is one of those guys who's been on the internet since the beginning of blackjack on the internet. And he used to go by the handle Night Train for any of the old timers out there. They will remember Rick Blaine. But we may try to get Andy Block on next week instead, so we can have him on talking about the World Series of Poker before the World Series actually starts. So I don't know. We're playing that by ear right now. I have emails out to both of them.
Very good. So. If Andy comes on, we'll make sure that he brings pictures of his new daughter. I think.
Yeah, right.
So make sure you have a color radio set so you can see them well. We actually, it's not a very well-kept secret, but 8 days from now, I'm getting married to Bonnie. And the wedding itself is going to be on a Friday afternoon. The reception is open to the world, and it's actually a square dance wedding reception. So my next Tuesday blog will give all the details of how to get there, what time it is, those kind of thing. If you're friendly towards the bride and groom, you're definitely welcome.
Are you worried about surveillance people showing up to see who you are, Bob?
Me? No, my picture's in a lot of different, because everywhere I've taught and on machines and stuff. So I'm not worried, and I'm expecting relatively few high-level video poker players to be there. But there might be some, but there would be no way to identify, they won't be dressed as square dancers, that's for sure. But we have other friends and family and stuff who won't be danced by square dancers either. Now, we do not need wedding gifts. So we're asking you to participate in the 50-50 drawing in lieu of a gift, which is it's a moneymaker for the club. And 50% comes back to the winners of the drawing, and 50% goes to the club. And so one of my AP friends who saw the announcement early is just shuddering at what the world coming to when these gambling experts are recommending a 50% game. But, oh well. Love to see some of you, and some of you are friends I've never met before. And so by all means, come by. If you're in town a week from Friday, come by. I will be on a 4-week honeymoon after that. We're going to Europe. And so we've been pre-taping a lot of shows. So we have so far 3 shows pre-taped, and we have scheduled for another one. So we may be able to sneak Andy Block or Rick Blaine in there and move the other ones around. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. But and Richard, you're also going off and filming.
I'm leaving Monday for Amarillo, Texas. I'm producing a movie down there, so I will be pretty busy for a while down there as well. So it's good we're taping these shows, and hopefully I won't miss any, but, you know, we'll see.
We'll see, or we won't hear, or something. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Is this a movie something you can tell us about, or just maybe later?
Yeah, maybe later. We can talk about that.
All right. So we got about 1 minute to go. Is there any last parting words on beginning card counter other than practice, practice, practice?
Probably the most important thing is read richardmunchka.com. You never know what you might find there that'll be helpful to you.
Ah, that's true. Now, in Malcolm Gladwell's one of his books, he says, maybe it's Outliers, is that to become an expert at anything, you got to spend your 10,000 hours. And that's certainly true of any gambling field you go into. And most of us who got good at some gambling games spent the dues reading everything, writing stuff down, practicing.
And we
still review. So for me, since I write weekly columns, I'm forced to review about the games, so I'm not writing. So I keep the errors I published to a minimum. Thank you, Richard. You've been a wonderful guest, even if you're reluctantly called that. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.